Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and we are here with
Candy Buckley. I play the White House official.
And you are?
And I am Max Wertendyke, who's playing Mikhail Khodorkovsky.
And this is the new show, Kleptocracy, which is at Arena Stage, January 18th through February 24th. Thanks so much for coming in, guys.
Thanks for
Absolutely.
Having us.
Absolutely.
All right, before we dive in, who wants to take the general premise, plot summary, log line? Go for it.
That would be Max.
Go for it.
All right, so Kleptocracy is written by Ken Lin, who's best known for his work on House of Cards, and it is a fictionalized account of a time in 1990s Russia when the country was sort of faced with two competing ideologies, one represented by my character, which is sort of a more liberalized, aligned with the West version, and one represented by someone who looms large in our imagination now, Vladimir Putin. And that's obviously the path that Russia took. So it's a sort of a story both about a personal battle of wills between these two men and a story of a time in the world when decisions that were being made across the country could have had a profound effect on us here at home.
Now, when was this actually written?
So
was it pre all the collusion?
So Ken started writing, I believe, in early 2016 or late 2015.
Okay.
He was approached by a guy named Rob Ahrens, who was one of our commercial producers, who had sort of discovered the Khodorkovsky stories and was fascinated by his fall from grace, which is, spoiler alert.
Right.
approached Ken, and Ken started working on the show. So, yeah, in a way, it's sort of fascinating that things have aligned the way they have in terms of timing. And, you couldn't hope for
it's
better.
It's absolutely
timing.
Freaky. I mean, we're getting ready to open, and the news is just oligarch, Russia. It's mind bending, and although it is about all of that, it's also highly, highly theatricalized. So it's not a documentary by any means.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and I think it's a quick and exciting show, and visually stunning. I think.
Yeah, I do too.
If I may speak so plainly.
Yeah.
Elaborate on what you mean by the highly theatricalized.
Well, we almost feel like when we're performing it that we're at an operatic level. It requires such muscularity. And the way the set is designed, we're in a thrust stage, which means we're out there thrust into the audience. But the stage has a diagonal to it, which sort of is emblematic of what's going on in the action. So we're at sixes and sevens. We're turned and throwing it out there to an audience. And I have a scene with Putin that is in such a weird location, as does Max.
Mm-hmm. Are we allowed to say what it is?
Or I don't
you gotta
know
come
if I
see
should.
The show.
I think you should come see the show.
Yeah.
Come see the weird location with Putin.
Definitely.
Now at Arena Stage.
Definitely.
And I think, like, also, you know, I mean, yeah, I think about this often, like, you know, what can the theater do that can't be better done in film or
no
television?
Kidding.
You know, film and television is like is a medium. If you want something that feels very sort of kitchen sink, true to life, you know, real replication of naturalism, and this play takes advantage, I think, of the medium and is particularly theatrical and through a variety of conceits and devices, which those would be spoiler alerts, I think. But there are moments which I hope, anyways, an audience sort of responds to viscerally. Because of what they're seeing and hearing and experiencing all at the same time.
Cool. So you said your character is leading one path that they don't obviously go down. They go to Putin instead. But your character, what did you said you're a U.S.
Well,
official?
Well, here
yeah,
goes
where are you
the deal. I'm
here?
The one American in the play, and which is a dang shame because it'd be fun to play a Russian. People on opening night, we had a big gathering, you know, a big party, and all these people were coming up to me saying, "Who are you supposed to be?" And I said, I'm the White House official. And one woman said, "Well, I'm a critic, and I'm going to tell you who you are. You're blah, 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 blah." And I'm actually not. I'm the White House official. I sort of represent the director wisely told me to play it Texan, which gives me a lot of freedom and can make me a lot
sure.
Nuttier, just like, sure. I can say that many years in Texas, because the Russians are high drama, so are Texans, and the president at the time was from Texas, so that's fun. But I am not anyone in particular. I have no name. So every night when they put my wig on me, we call her something different.
Really? So I want to know who did they think you were?
They thought
something
I was,
with the Bush administration?
And I might be saying her name wrong. They thought I was Georgette Mosbacher.
Huh.
Who I looked up, I think she's the ambassador now to Poland.
Okay.
she's quite beautiful, so I appreciated the reference. But
you're like, oh yeah, I can see how you would think that.
I definitely didn't know who she was, so I definitely didn't have her in mind.
I shared this with Candy. I was walking home from the theater one day, and I heard two women. It looked like a mother and a daughter talking about this question. And the mom was like, you know, who was the White House official? And you know, our daughter looked at me and said, well, Mom, you know, she's representative of American policy.
Right.
You know, as Ulspin pointed out.
Your personification of the policy at
yeah.
the time.
Yeah, and right, exactly. And the effect that the U.S. had, you know, in this like big global affairs and, you know, and creating sort of like big policy ideas distilled into a personality, you know, is sort of an amazing. And, you have red, white, and blue. So we have, our great costumer, Jessica Ford. You know, you can see there's sort of a series of things, I think, throughout the play that definitely support that, you know, as the representation of U.S. sort of American ideology in the world.
I wear a ball gown in my scene with Max, and it's almost like armor. I mean, my shoulders are actually constricted. It's like I'm in a military uniform. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'm definitely emblematic.
Well, what's so fascinating to me is back then it was, you know, the Soviets were the enemy, and let's tear down that wall. And now, whether or not, you know, we'll see what happens with the investigation, whether or not you agree with that there's actual collusion or not, at least publicly, the president's very, you know, tipping his hat to Putin on a lot of different things. They're agreeing. It's so bizarre. How do we get from point A to point B there? And are you expecting the audience to go in and see, oh, yeah, this is how we used to be?
And the audience loves Putin. They know him.
Yeah.
And he gets to engage with them and stuff. And you can tell, wow. And the audiences here are so intelligent.
I sometimes get jealous as Khodorkovsky because, Putin gets to break the fourth wall and talks to the audience. And sometimes they'll be out there and just sort of lapping it up, laughing. And as Khodorkovsky, you know, I sometimes sit backstage thinking like, what's wrong with you guys?
Right.
Like,
why are you laughing?
You know, I think I'm the good guy. Although I will say that I think the play actually handles both of us pretty even-handedly.
Yeah, sure.
So neither of us are true heroes and neither of us are true villains.
Sure.
But I mean, it's, you know, to your question too, I mean, regardless of what's happening here, I mean, Russia is clearly flexing its muscles in the world in a big way.
Yep.
You know, there's the Bill Browder news, which we just, you know, came out a couple of weeks ago. And I was just reading this morning, Khodorkovsky's foundations, Open Russia. There's sort of a new law, which I don't know a ton about because I've just read about it, but there's a new law in Russia, sort of basically undesirable NGOs that you can be arrested for participating in. And an activist who works with his organization has just been sort of tagged as one of these people. So,
and before any of this election stuff, it was, I mean, there was Georgia, there was Crimea, there's, you know, they've been flexing their muscles for a bit.
Yeah, I mean, right.
Like, and when we macro it and look back, we'll say this general period was a time that they were trying to take the world stage again.
Yeah, and really, like, become major players, right? Mm-hmm. Major world powers, you know? So regardless of what the results of our investigations here are, I think we're going to be, talking about Russia for the foreseeable future, one way or the other. You know, they're here.
Yeah. Who's our Putin? You said the audience eats him up. Who plays him?
Christopher Geary, who's a wonderful, wonderful actor. His Putin is very, I heard someone describe it as both terrifying and impish, you know? And I don't think that's inaccurate, you know? He has sort of a solo scene with Candy and a solo scene with me, and is very interesting. I mean, it's really fun to play across from him.
Yeah.
And to try to navigate, particularly for Khodorkovsky, to try to, you know, he's the president of the country. I'm a rising oligarch, so very wealthy, but don't have the same kind of power quite that he has. And trying to navigate the waters of both the character, and Chris makes it really fun to sort of try and figure out how much can I say without getting in trouble. You know, when can I take little stabs at Putin as the character and when can I not?
And he doesn't imitate the real Putin, but so he does his own thing. But he has to do some theatrical stunts, which I also won't reveal, but they're kind of pyrotechnics.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Lots of good teasers without fully giving it away. Well, you mentioned we're not allowed to mention the secret location where, you know, the Putin meeting happens. But generally, visually, where is it sort of set? What are we seeing on stage? You know, backdrops and...
Well, so I'll say, like, you know, the set is not a... it's not like you see, like, a forest or a building. It's not backdrops, you know. Okay. I mean, it's sort of much more...
Minimal?
Yeah, and I think, like, abstract in that sense. You know, when we were talking about the design very early on, apparently some inspiration was taken sort of from, you know, some of those Soviet posters. You see those strange angles.
Oh, I didn't know that. That
yeah.
makes sense.
Yeah, you see those strange angles and, like, those sort of colors of sort of stark blacks and reds. And, you know, and I think that was, like, used as a template for some of the design. And then there's amazing, we have a wonderful projection artist as well who adds, you know, sort of some texture to this wall that sort of also helps set us up and where we are. So again, like, the locations are not exactly documentary realistic,
sure,
but should elicit both a sensation of space and an experience of traveling through those spaces. So I'll give up, you know, one, the scene between Point Nine takes place. It's okay. It takes place in a forest. We walk through the woods. And, you know, instead of, like, dropping trees onto stage, which, you know, is crazy,
sure.
You know, we sort of, through the use of sound and projections, we sort of travel through this river path past a river as the two of us sort of do this dangerous little dance around one another.
And the set designer's name Misha and the lighting designer's name Masha. Mm-hmm. Enough said.
Also, very very useful to have resident Russians in the room. You
yeah.
know? It's actually, I mean, that's one of the things that's most exciting to me is, like, actually hearing feedback from Russian audience members.
Like Russian-American audiences.
Yeah,
that are here.
Yeah, who have, like, an experience with it. And it seems to me, at least anyways, the feedback I've heard has been really positive. And Ken shared with me something that someone shared with him, which said that, you know, the play really sort of even-handedly deals with a flawed, visionary, undisciplined dissident, which is Khodorkovsky, and a flawed...
Oh, I thought you meant you, the actor.
Yes, it was me. Sorry. Just the undisciplined part. Just the undisciplined part and the flawed part. The visionary part, no way.
Yeah.
and a, you know, a flawed, disciplined czar being Putin. And, you know, to hear that from someone who has a background in with the history and a feeling about what that all means is, I don't know, it was very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's exciting. Talk about how exciting it is that it's a world premiere here at Arena. The space and, you know, elasticity and creativity that allows, and the fact, and just working with Kenneth Lynn, you know, what makes him sort of a visionary here?
Well, I saw one of his plays early on when he was a student at Yale Drama School, and he's extraordinary. And to be at the Arena stage, I've been around a long time and I've worked at a lot of theaters, and Arena stage is one of the leading repertory theaters in America, period.
My mom was amped when she heard. She was like, oh, wow, Arena.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and as working on a new play, I mean, both Ken and our director, Jackson Gay, I mean, what was really amazing was really the play was in process, you know, so we were still getting changes throughout the rehearsal process. Not like we showed up on day one.
On opening day, we were getting changes.
Yeah, I mean, that's right. We got line changes on opening day. And so, you know, this is a very both exciting and can sometimes be a little scary.
Yeah.
But, you know, one of the beauties of this is, I think, both speaks to, like, the staff of Arena and also, I think, the incredible creative team that we have, like the cast and Ken and Jackson. It's a very collaborative room and a very collaborative process. And so, you know, when we had questions, you know, you could bring them into the room and people would talk about it. And it would affect the sort of development of the play, I think, in a really great way. And so it's very exciting. It's exciting to be able to sort of say those words for the first time in front of people, yeah. You know, and tell a story. You know, I didn't know who Khodorkovsky was at all before I read the script. And so this is, like, you know, one of the things that's fascinating to me about this project and about this story is that this sort of what I mentioned earlier is this idea that things are happening across the other side of the world that could have had a real effect on us. And I didn't have a clue. And so to get to know that and get to know this man just a little bit, even though he's a fictionalized version of Khodorkovsky, he's not the man, mm-hmm. He's a fictionalized version of him, was really, is humbling and is exciting and fascinating.
Yeah. Well, before we go, what's in a title? Remind us if our listeners don't know what a kleptocracy is.
Kleptocracy, something's being stolen. It might be our government.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah. Cue the Law and Order. Dun, dun.
Did you hear that?
Dun, dun. Dun.
Yeah, I think, correct me if I'm wrong. I believe a kleptocracy is basically when you take an oligarchy, another word we all need probably a definition for. But it is a sort of royal government of royalty based on money and who has power, and power is determined by who has wealth. So they're arising all over the world. In fact, I think I just listened to a great historian who was at Davos the other day and sort of spoke to some of this, you know, some of these ideas. So I think it's an issue that we're all thinking about, you know, or should be thinking about if we're not.
Well, come to Arena Stage and we'll really think about it. Again, yes. It's Kleptocracy at Arena Stage, January 18th through February 24th. So thanks so much, guys.
Awesome. Thanks for having us.